Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study this evening. God willing, we will cover Ezekiel chapter 27 and then just the first part of chapter 28. And then, God willing, we'll continue in chapter 28 next week. Welcome. Pastor Murray is not going to be able to be with us this evening, but he will be speaking on Sabbath. He's just busy with work or other engagements this evening. And let me open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the study for this evening where we study the scriptures line upon line. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pause to acknowledge you, just to thank you so much, Father, for your word, for your ancient text that we have access to, and for the desire that you've put in our hearts to be familiar with the text, to understand the text, to be taught through the revelation that you gave to these ancient prophets. And certainly Ezekiel is a major prophet, a very complex book. We thank you, Father, for just opening it up to our understanding, and pray that you'll continue to do that, and that as we understand more of Ezekiel, we'll understand more of the rest of the scriptures and vice versa. We thank you, Father. We thank you for all the faithful teachers. We ask you for the faith. We praise you for the faithful disciples. And we ask for your blessing on our study this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brethren, let us get into tonight's study. And I actually want to begin tonight rather than actually what I should do. Sorry, first of all, is just make sure I'm coming through loudly and clearly. Let me just quickly pop over to the chat. And I'm not seeing anything there, but I just want to welcome those of you who are signed in. And Sister Carlotta, I see something there. Okay, so I'm assuming that I'm coming through loudly and clearly. And if I'm not, just let me know. And what I want to do is start, let me share my screen. And rather than begin with the scripture right away, let me begin with this map, just so we know where Tyre is. So you can see where Tyre is here, and I'll just zoom in a bit more. So right in the Mediterranean Sea, and let me just scroll down here, and let me share my screen this way. And so you'll see Lebanon is here. Tyre is right on the coast. And in fact, it looks, as you look at the map here, you can see that it's attached. It's like a peninsula. At the time of Ezekiel, it was not attached to Lebanon. It was an independent island, a real sort of city island, city state called Tyre. Babylon was the first to conquer it. It was very powerful. Babylon was the first to conquer it. Then Persia conquered it. Then the Greeks conquered it. And it was Alexander the Great, when he conquered Tyre, that he thoroughly conquered it and created a peninsula and attached it to the mainland. So originally Tyre and Lebanon were two separate entities. But now it's one and the same. So Tyre is a part of Lebanon. And again, you can see that the Mediterranean Sea was really the key to this whole hub of bringing all these different continents together. And Tyre basically controlled the Mediterranean Sea all the way out to Italy, Greece, Asia Minor, Africa, Arabia. So they were really the center of everything. So I just wanted to start with that because I have to acknowledge, and maybe you can let me know in the chat, but I have to acknowledge that when I started to study this, I actually had no idea how powerful, and sorry, let me just switch here. I had no idea how powerful Tyre was, and just studying these couple of chapters, and we'll continue again next week. This was a very, very powerful, it's a little city, basically an island, a city state that controlled everything. And it's no wonder next week when we look at chapter 28, that the king of Tyre is actually likened to Satan and becomes a proxy or an avatar for Satan. So let's get into our study for this evening. And actually, let me just check the chat one more time. And yeah, oh, loud and clear. Thanks so much, Rikor. All right, very, very good. Let's pump up the font size here. And just to go back to chapter 26, where we were last week, just a couple of verses. Son of man, because the Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people. She has turned unto me. I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Therefore, verse 3, thus says Jehovah Adonai, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes his waves to come out. So there's just going to be this relentless assault on Tyre. And then in verse 17, and they shall take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how are you destroyed that was inhabited of seafaring men? So it was the center of basically the world's commerce, if I could say it like that, anciently. And maybe to think of a powerful city back in the day, like London, England, or like New York, where just the whole world is doing business with this city and it becomes very powerful. But it's on an island and it's able to wall the island, so it becomes impenetrable and everybody's doing business with it and it just becomes this powerhouse. I had no idea. I just hear Tyre in the Bible. I know Ezekiel 28. I'm familiar with that scripture, became familiar with it early in my days in the church, but didn't really contemplate just how powerful Tyre was. And so this is the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news. So we saw all the judgments on Judah and on Jerusalem, and now God has shifted his attention. The assumption is that Judah has, or a remnant of Judah has repented. And now, as in accordance with Deuteronomy 30, God is now bringing these curses upon the enemies of Judah. So because Judah rejoiced in the judgment on Jerusalem and tried to take advantage of it, an economic advantage of Jerusalem's collapse, God punishes Tyre, or announces this punishment on Tyre, and then they're going to lament for her. How is it possible that you could be destroyed? And I think that's another lesson here as I'm studying this passage, is we must not lose faith with the power, because of the power of Gentile nations. No matter how powerful these nations are, they have an expiry date. But the kingdom of God has no expiry date. Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There's no expiry. So we mustn't acquiesce to their satanic agenda, because they're like, man is like a flower. He grows, he blossoms, he's glorious, and then he's gone. So Tyre, this is a very, very powerful city-state or nation or tribe or peoples. And they will take a lamentation for you and say to you, how have you been destroyed that was inhabited of seafaring men? The renowned city, which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on all that haunted. So everybody was terrified of Tyre. And nobody wanted to be on the wrong side of Tyre. Everybody wanted to be on the right side of Tyre and wanted to trade and do commerce with her so that they could be enriched. But they didn't want to cross her because she was that powerful. And you can see today with the powerful, say, the pharmaceutical industry, how powerful it is and how quickly people will acquiesce to it, because they can see how they can be profitable cooperating with it and how they can be crushed if they go against it. So we can get a sense of how powerful Tyre was by some of the analogies in our current day. So let's come now to Ezekiel chapter 27 and verse 1. So what we saw last week was God's judgment on Tyre. Now we're going to continue that, but through a lamentation. The word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, now, you son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre. So a lamentation is a bitter cry. It's extreme grief, the expression of deep sorrow for loss. And here is this powerful city-state that basically rules the world. And you know, it's very analogous to Babylon. It's sort of the Nimrod formula is being exercised here, just as it will be exercised in Babylon. So a lot of the parallels we'll see between Tyre and Babylon make sense, because it's all rooted in this Nimrod agenda of world hegemony. So now take up this lamentation. This is good news. If you are a Jew living in the ancient Near East, and you are suffering under these pagan Gentile oppressive leaders, and here comes the prophet weeping for Tyre. Take up a lamentation for Tyre, and say unto Tyre, O you that are situated at the entry of the sea, and that was its power. Geography is destiny. And you know, I didn't understand that as a child, as a high school student or elementary school student. They just give us these maps and say, memorize these maps. And geography just seemed like a very boring subject, as did history. Here are the dates. Memorize these dates. If only they had explained to us that geography is destiny. And if they could show us these ancient empires, how they were able to grow in power and stature, primarily because of their geography. And so here is an island that is at the sort of the switchboard of the Mediterranean Sea, and is able to capitalize on all of the traffic that is going back and through the Mediterranean Sea, that is just perfectly situated. So it's like it was destined, because it's an island that could be a fortress. It was destined to come to power. And it looked like it would be in power forever. O you that are situated at the entry of the sea, which are a merchant of the people for many islands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am of perfect beauty. So there's you get this sense of this arrogance, and you can see as well why such a powerful city-state that is just so wealthy, why it would become an analog, or the king of Tyre would become an analog for Satan. So he says, I'm of perfect beauty. Excuse me. You can imagine the spectacle of Tyre, how amazing it must have been. And if you were going to Tyre to trade, to deliver goods or to pick up goods, it must have just been absolutely spectacular. Your borders are in the midst of the seas. So it's an island. It's in the midst of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. So she's able to acquire, let's say, architects and construction companies and get them to build this spectacle in the sea. They have made all your shipboards of fir trees of Senir. And so just as we go through these, different cities and states, I'll just mention just quickly where they are today. And speculating, it's not exactly, but this is really Lebanon and Syria, a combination of what we call Lebanon and Syria today. So they're bringing the best of the trees. We've heard of the cedars of Lebanon. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for these. So it's like the highest quality materials to build her ships that are doing all of this trade. And so Tyre, again, I said last week that Tyre is Lebanon, but here there's Tyre and cedars are coming from Lebanon, because at the time of the writing, Tyre was a separate island from Lebanon. Today it's all connected. So it's what we call Lebanon today. So this Senir, if we look in Deuteronomy 3 and verse 9, this is Mount Hermon, which Hermon, the Sidonians call Syrian, and the Amorites call Shinir. So this is, again, the Mount Hermon, which is in Lebanon, Syria area. Verse 6, of the oaks of Bashan. And so we see another allusion to and other parts. So it just controls so many cities, so many countries, all of them trading with her. So this is Bashan is in Syria, Israel, and what we call the Golan Heights today. So let me just move this over a little bit. So he goes on to say, of the oaks of Bashan, they have made your oars. So this is like the finest quality materials and workmanship, all building up the power and the glory of Tyre. So her ships are just made of the best materials, even the oars. The company of the Asherites, he says, have made your benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Shittim or Chittim. So Asher is Syria, obviously, so that would be in the area of Iraq. And the research shows that Shittim is in the area of Cyprus. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt. So again, it's just everything is coming from the different places. So the Lebanon is known for her trees. Egypt is known for her linen. Fine linen with broidered work, hand embroidered work from Egypt, was that which you spread forth to be your sail. So the sails on the ship, and the ship itself is a symbol of Tyre itself. So, but these are how the ships were made. But this, the prophet here is likening the whole city state to one of its ships. So the sail on the ship, it's not just a regular canvas sail. It's made with fine linen that's embroidered from Egypt. So everything's coming from all different parts of the world. Was that which you spread forth to be your sail? Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha, which again, they think could be Cyprus or part of Greece. Again, just because it's in the Mediterranean, it just has access to bring the best of goods from all over. Was that which covered you? And this Elisha, we'll see it in the Table of Nations in Genesis 10, beginning in verse 2. So Elisha comes from Japheth. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan. So you can see that Javan here is one of the sons of Japheth, and then from Javan comes Elisha. So it's not Elisha as in the prophet Elisha, but Elisha, this is from Japheth. Back to Ezekiel 27. The inhabitants of Zidon. So this Zidon and Arvad, again, part of Lebanon and part of Syria. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were your manners, your wise men, O Tyre, that were in thee, they were your pilots. So even the people who are steering the ships, these are the best people. They are best skilled to be, as I said, man, mariners. Let me just pump this up a little bit more. They were your mariners, I guess he would pronounce it. So they're the ones who are just sailing the ships, navigating the ships, and they're the best. They are skilled in this, and they've come to work for Tyre in this way. So the ancients of Gebal, and what did I have here in my list? This is part of Lebanon. And the wise men thereof were in all your coffers. And I forgot to look up what that was. This is a gap or leak in a building. Let me see that again. Coffers. Because it's a bridge. So, caulker. So this would be, if there's a crack anywhere, these are the people that are caulking it, sealing it, make sure that that it's waterproof. So he says, these were your caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in you to occupy your merchandise. So she just attracted everyone. It's like, so in Canada, this is maybe going back a couple of decades. There was just Alberta was just booming with the oil industry. And people from all over Canada moved out to Alberta to take advantage of that economic boom. So you get that sense here with Tire. There's this economic boom, and people are coming from all over the world to work in Tire and bring their best skills and talents to Tire to occupy or to look after its merchandise and its trade. They of Persia, let me just go back here. They of Persia and of Lud and Phut were in your army, your men of war. They hang the shield and the helmet in you. So these are now the warrior class. So it's getting the best warriors. And Lud and Phut, this is the area of Libya and part of Turkey. So these are your army. You've got these aggressive, full of testosterone soldiers. These are your men of war that protect you. So you've got an island that is walled, and then you've got warriors that nobody messes with you. They can trade with you, they can't mess with you. They hang the shield and helmet in you. They set forth your beauty. So you just imagine their army. So this again, Lud and Phut in the Table of Nations, we're going to see them here from Egypt. So Egypt begat Lud, which is, we believe, is Libya. And we can see that Cush begat Phut. Ezekiel, back to verse 11:27, the men of Arvad. And so I did some research here. And Arvad, where did Arvad go? Is part of Lebanon and part of Syria as well. The men of Arvad with your army were upon your walls round about. And the Gamadim, seems like it might be part of Lebanon as well, were in your towers. They hang their shields upon your walls and round about. They have made your beauty perfect. So you can just imagine the military might of Tyre and the uniform, the beauty of their uniforms and the uniformity and the splendor. This was Tyre. He says, Tarshish, which they believe is Spain. So as far out as Spain. Tarshish was your merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches. So with silver, iron, tin, and lead, they traded in your fairs. So they're not stupid. These are business people who realize everybody's in Tyre. That's sort of the exchange. We've got to come with our goods to Tyre. We've got to come and buy goods from Tyre and bring them back to our country. Everything's happening in Tyre. And you can see Tarshish is actually of the sons of Javan, which is from Japheth as well. So here we see Javan, Tubal, and Meshach. They were your merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in your market. So they're coming as well. And they're not just coming with vessels and merchandise. They're trading slaves. And that could be surprising to most of us in North America, because we think the only slave trade was the Atlantic slave trade. Slavery was an economic system. It was all over the world. Every peoples were enslaved. And here we have these people coming to Tyre to trade human beings as property. And we can see here, again, just the Table of Nations. We've got Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, Tyre. These are all coming from Japheth. Verse 14, they of the house of Tagarma, and that is part of Turkey, part of Armenia today. They of the house of Tagarma traded in your fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. And you could just imagine the beauty of these horses and the skill of the horsemen who are coming to trade. And everybody's coming to Tyre to take advantage of this trade. And this Tagarma from Japheth as well. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphtha, and Tagarma. So Japheth really spread a lot in the Middle East. And they are these descendants of Japheth that are trading in Tyre. The men of Dedan, this is Arabia, were your merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of your hand. So they're coming as merchants to help sell, buy and sell. And many islands were the merchandise of your hand. They brought you for a present horns of ivory and ebony. So the way you would come to great people with your gifts, they're coming with gifts so they can maybe get preferential treatment in all of this traffic and trade. Syria was your merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of your making. So different people are bringing different items, and Syria is helping to merchandise. They occupied in your fairs with emeralds, purple, and broidered work. So when we see these colors, blue and purple, today is nothing. You know, you can walk into the nearest Walmart and there's everything, all clothing is colorful. We'd be surprised if it didn't have color. Well, the opposite back in the day, that color was really expensive. And these items had to be hand dyed. And there was a lot of maybe insects that had to be crushed in order to create these colors. But when there's a lot of wealth, we can create these colors and embroidered work. And again, if there's a lot of slaves, then slaves can make these embroidered work and fine linen and coral and agate. Judah and the land of Israel, they were your merchants. They traded in your market wheat of Minnith and Panag and honey and oil and balm. And Minnith, they believe, is Ammon, Jordan. And Panag, they're not 100% sure where that is, but somewhere in the area of Ammon or Jordan. So even Judah is in on it, trading. All of this is the center. This is the switchboard of the world at the time. And because of all of this commerce and merchandise and the fact that it was a walled island, it became extremely powerful. I think the most powerful city-state at the time. And when Assyria came to crush it, and Babylon came to crush it, and Persia came to crush it, they conquered it. But it wasn't until Alexander the Great, who had the genius idea of actually connecting it to the mainland, that's when it was really fully conquered. But here it's going down. So the king of Babylon is coming in to completely level Tyre. But at this point, it's very, very powerful. So this Minnith and Panag is mentioned in Judges 11:33. This is speaking of, and I forget which judge this was, but they conquered them from Aroer even till you come to Minnith, even 20 cities and the plain of vineyards with a very great slaughter. And the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. So certainly in the promised land, this Minnith. And here in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 8, this land that they're going into, it's a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive oil and honey. So this is why you see them here, the Judah, able to trade with wheat and honey and oil, because that's what was in that land. Verse 18, back to Ezekiel 27. Damascus, this is Assyria, was your merchant in the multitude of the wares of your making. So there's just so much commerce in this place that everybody's coming to trade and to create wealth. Damascus was your merchant in the multitude of the wares of your making, for the multitude of all riches, in the wine of Helbon and white wool. And I just see if I did research on Helbon. I missed Helbon. So I don't know where Helbon is. Dan also and Javan, going to and fro, occupied in your fairs. Bright iron, cassia, and calamus were in your market. I think those are some sort of herbs. Let's see. Cassia. It's bark. And calamus is a reed, a shaft. So again, these are making musical instruments. Whatever they're making, they need these supplies. Dedan, this is part of Arabia, was your merchant in precious clothes for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, again, another part of Arabia, they occupied with you in lambs and rams and goats. In these were they your merchants. So everybody's coming with their specialty. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah. And Sheba and Ramah, what did I find? So Sheba is today in the area of Yemen, and Ramah is Saudi Arabia, part of Southwest Arabia. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah, they were your merchants. They occupied in your fairs. and this really occupied is just to do business. They were transacting with chief of all spices. So they're coming from Arabia with all spices and with all precious stones. And there's a lot of stone worship in Arabia and gold. And here we see Sheba is descended from Cush, as is Rama. So in the Table of Nations, they're coming through Cush, as well as Sheba and Dedan. Ezekiel 27 and 23, Haran and Kenna and Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher and Kilmad were your merchants. And did I look up Haran? That is southeastern Turkey. Kana is likely part of Lebanon. And Eden, the research showed, is part of Turkey. These were your merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes, embroidered work. And every time we read this, just think slavery. So that was the economic system back then. And in chests of rich apparel. So these people don't get wealthy by sitting down and just hitting a keyboard and creating things out of their head. Wealth is through human labor and primarily taking advantage of human labor, which means slavery. So Tyre was, and all these nations that are trading with Tyre, slavery is the economic system. Let's be clear about that. And in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of you in your market. So coming all the way, it looks like from Spain, possibly. And again, all of these, this research, it's all a possibility. It's not 100%, unless, you know, Egypt is Egypt, but even the borders there may have changed. The ships of Tarshish, which we believe is Spain, did sing of you in your market. That's how glorious Tyre was. And you were replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. This powerhouse of a nation, Ezekiel is told, take up a lamentation. Start grieving for her because she's coming down. And this is the beginning of the good news for, if you're a Jew and you're hearing this prophecy from Ezekiel, it's like amazing. This gives you hope. So this is the beginning of the shift and the beginning of the good news. Your rowers, again, think slaves. Your rowers have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you in the midst of the seas. And again, you're going to have people who are specialists in navigating with the winds. Your riches and your fares, your merchandise, your mariners, and your pilots, your caulkers, and the occupiers of your merchandise, and all your men of war that are in you, and in all your company which is in the midst of you, all of that, everything that we've just went through, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of your ruin. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. This is, and again, I think today, I think it wouldn't be far-fetched to say, let's use America as just a symbol, or let's use Tyre as an analogy to America. Not to say that America is Tyre, but just as an analogy. To say that here is the superpower of the world, that these people who lived in that day would never for a moment imagine the collapse of this empire. Just as for us, it's hard for us to imagine a world where America is not the world's superpower. But these powerful nations can quickly collapse. And that's what Ezekiel is saying here, is this power, this superpower of the day is about to collapse. And so we have to get ready for this transition into a world where the moral code that has informed America will no longer influence the world. And in fact, it's going to be more of the moral code that influenced Tyre and these ancient pagan nations. That's what's going to be the moral code of the coming world order, we can put it that way. Let's just continue here with the passage in Ezekiel 27. So all of that we just started going through, that was just described with such detail, when Tyre goes down, they're all going down as well. The suburb shall shake at the sound of the cry of your pilots. So all of this traffic is by sea. And all of these people who are sailing the ships, navigating the ships, the captains, when they start to cry, even the suburbs are going to shake. And all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land and shall cause their voice to be heard against you and shall cry bitterly. So Tyre is a very oppressive empire, but they're getting wealth through all of the merchandise. So even though they're being oppressed by Tyre, at the same time, when it collapses, they cry bitterly. And you can, again, a great analogy for today. You can see people today who are oppressed by the powers that be. But when these powers that be collapse and their economy collapses, they will cry bitterly and shall cast up dust upon their heads. So that's a very Middle Eastern way of expressing deep grief. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes. And this, just to me, I just think of Revelation 1, I believe verse 7, that when Christ returns, all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him. And the whole world economy will have collapsed. Gold and silver will have no value. And then they're going to wallow themselves in the ashes and cast dust upon their head. Well, here is an early sort of forerunner of the fall of Babylon, as we watch the fall of Tyre, which, again, these are rooted in the Nimrodian system. And they shall make themselves utterly bald for you, again, an expression of deep grief, and gird themselves with sackcloth, expression of deep grief. And they shall weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And again, no difference today. When the economy collapses and all the wealth, everything they were banking on has collapsed, they will weep for Babylon in this modern sense, but here for Tyre, with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing, they shall take up a lamentation for you and lament over you, saying, what city is like Tyre? So Tyre stood alone. So in the ancient Near East, this Tyre was just the superpower, and there was nothing like it. And it was just geography is destiny. It was just situated in such a way that all of the traffic it could take advantage of. It would be like today, somebody getting Tim Berners-Lee, who I think he invented the World Wide Web or the browser or something. If every time there was traffic on the internet, he got paid. You could just imagine how incredibly wealthy he would become. So these or Google, every time there's a search, the cash register is ringing for Google. So you see this Google empire and the trillions of dollars, perhaps over time. This is who is like Tyre. This city state stood alone, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea. So it stood alone, and as powerful as it was, it collapsed. And it's like, how can this be? How on earth could this happen? When your wares went forth out of the seas, you filled many people. You did enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of your riches and of your merchandise. So how have you fallen? How did you fall from this state? In the time when you shall be broken by the seas, in the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company in the midst of you shall fall. So this is powerful prophecy. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at you. Again, it really does sound like Babylon because it's the same system being brought down. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at you, and their king shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at you. You shall be a terror and never shall be anymore. So that whole powerhouse of a economic system is gone. As I said, I never thought about Tyre. it's not, it's only because I'm doing the study of Ezekiel that I've come to appreciate just how incredibly powerful this city-state was. But prior to this, I knew next week, God willing, we'll do Ezekiel 28, where Satan is called the King of Tyre. But apart from that, and there's some passages where Christ speaks about Tyre, but just I would think about the mention of the name, I wouldn't think for a minute of its power, of its glory, of its splendor. But boy, was it powerful, was it glorious, was it splendid, was it a spectacle? But it's gone. It's gone. You shall be a terror and never shall be anymore. People are just going to be gobsmacked. We're going to be gobsmacked at what happened to Tyre. So let's just do the first part of chapter 28, and then God willing, we'll continue with chapter 28 next week. The word of Jehovah came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. And again, I would read this and I would just take it as sort of an analogy or symbolism. But I never connected it to how powerful Tyre was. And so, of course, the king of Tyre, the prince of Tyre, the chief of Tyre, would see himself as a god when all the nations all around are subservient to him and nobody can mess with him and he does what he wants. Because your heart is lifted up and you said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not God, though you set your heart as the heart of God. And this is unfortunately what happens to men. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. That is, in your own eyes, you set yourself as wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from you. With your wisdom and with your understanding, you have gotten you riches. So it's just every year getting wealthier and wealthier and wealthier, and decade after decade getting wealthier and wealthier, and giving yourself credit for that. With your wisdom and with your understanding, you've gotten your riches. And have gotten gold and silver into your treasures. And then this is another thing I want to point out as well, is, and I heard Herbert Armstrong, I learned this from Herbert Armstrong decades ago when I first came into the church. Economic prosperity and military power go hand in hand. So when Tyre is sitting in the middle of all of this traffic and the cash register just keeps ringing, along with that comes military power. And so for us to foolishly facilitate the rise of China economically and think that that's not going to have military consequences, we're fooling ourselves. So this king, he built up all of this traffic and became extremely wealthy, but also became militarily powerful. By your great wisdom and your traffic, by your traffic, you have increased your riches and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of God, behold, this is just blasphemy. Therefore, I will bring strangers upon you, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they shall defile your brightness. They shall bring you down to the pit, and you shall die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Will you yet say before him that slays you, I am God? So you believe you're God, but you're a man. And when you're about to be slain, are you going to say to the person that's going to slaughter you that you're God? But you shall be a man and no God in the hand of him that slays you. You shall die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. So that is Ezekiel. We'll just stop there because the next section I want to deal with separately. But that is Ezekiel chapter 27 and the first part of chapter 28. And as I said, This has really given me an appreciation for what a powerhouse Tyre was. So that's where we'll end today. I've already mentioned it, that Pastor Murray will be bringing, he spoke last week, so hopefully you heard that. He's going to be bringing, I believe, part two this coming week. And so with that, brethren, we'll end there. And we look forward to, God willing, seeing you on Sabbath. And then, God willing, continuing this ancient scroll of Ezekiel with Ezekiel chapter 28 next week. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.